These are the reminiscences of Rabban Zal from Rabbi Avraham Whiteman.
Okay, basically going back in the year 1956 is when I got married. My wife was Tosha Wolf Lakewood herself. My shvei was very close to Rabban Zal. Rabban took him on his wing when they first met here. My shvei was here a little longer than Rabban, previous to him, and was one of the people that invited Rabban to stay in Lakewood. And as such, he was here without his family, and he had his second home was Rabban's house. He did a Sedorim because he had no family, and Rabban always used to send the Yumalite to keep him company always, because he was always alone without his family, without his wife throughout the life. Going back to 1956 when I married, since the family was very close to Rabban, of course I had some shaykhs with him as well. I learned in the yeshiva the first Seder every, the second Seder every day. I had a chavrusa and used to go and learn, listen to shiurim, talk to him. Whenever he had a shayla, I used to go to him. There was a few interesting inyanim that I remember one shayla that I had when I first married. The house that I lived in on the farm had a bismedosh where we davened. We made a minyan there for the people that live in the area.
Okay.
And after I had a child, I needed some extra room in the house, so we wanted to move the best marriage that we had to a different room, to a different place. And of course I went to Rabban and I asked him if he moved there in the house, and he said definitely yes, and when you have more children you can move it again. So that was mamash bracha, that I knew I was going to have more children afterwards. Baruch Hashem, we had children, and they were always close to the Rosh Yeshiva, always in the yeshiva.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's one incident which is a very interesting story that happened with us. Actually, not with us. We had on the farm where we lived. We lived about 2 miles away from the yeshiva, and a little further down there was a family that lived named Con Frankel. This Con Frankel was a Adam Hoshuv. He was there with his family. He had two sons, and we used to daven there many times. Also, Shabbos morning, the minyan was in his house. He had previously, before coming to Lakewood in Europe, before the war, he was the Rosh Kol of Budapest. And he was a shtickel mishpacha to my wife's uncle. And they were very close. And as the chicken farming business went downhill, the people, the Carl Frankel family, became big balachayif, so they had to sell their farm. And they moved to New York and gave up farming. Since they moved to New York, the kesha between my wife's uncle and this Carl Frankel did not stop, and they used to be in contact through letters constantly. And of course, when they write letters to each other, it was always b'toich divrei Torah. So this was before Shavuos. Carl Frankel sent my wife's uncle a letter, and in it he gave three taimim, why they call Yom HaMiyuchas, the day 2 days before Shavuos, why they call it Yom HaMiyuchas. And it was three of them that were very detailed, complicated droshes that he gave, why they call it Yom HaMiyuchas. It had to do with some piyutim and ganzen maises. And he wrote that letter to my wife's uncle, with these tirutzim. Before Shavuos, my wife's uncle was speaking to the Rosh Yeshiva Zal, and he told him what he wrote him, the three terutzim that he wrote him, and he wanted to know the Chavos Das of the Rosh Yeshiva Zal, what he thought of those three terutzim. Before the Rosh Yeshiva Zal could give him an answer, he was called away. There was a long distance call, as was always all the time. He was always being called from all over the world, different shaylas, different problems. And at that time he went away, and he went for the telephone call, and there was another thing and another thing, and my wife's uncle did not speak to the Rosh Yeshiva that day anymore. The next few days Afterwards, the Rosh Yeshiva left to Eretz Yisrael. He was all summer in Eretz Yisrael, being the head of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva and the Chinuch Atzmoi and all the other things that he had. He spent the whole summer in Eretz Yisrael at that time with all his different responsibilities that he had over there. He came back before Yom Tovim, and he davened in yeshiva, and as always, and but my uncle, my wife's uncle, did not daven in yeshiva. He used to daven someplace else. And the next time that my wife's uncle had a chance to meet the Rosh Yeshiva was during Sukkot. And as it was tradition then, is they always had the Rosh Yeshiva's al always made, and they still do here, make Simchas Beis Hasheva for the yeshiva, and they always made it on the Gaon's Yahrzeit, and the Rosh Yeshiva's al always used to talk Divrei Torah, mentioning the Divrei Torah of the Gaon. And as of such, he used to invite the family, our family being close to him, as the only Baal Bat in the Shtot that ever had really Shaychus with the yeshiva, and they used to invite us down to come to the yeshiva for the Simchas Beis Hasheva. I went together with my wife's uncle to the yeshiva, and we came there a little early, and the Rosh Yeshiva's al was sitting with the Bochum and the Yungalite and the Sukkah, and we waited into Beis Medrash. They had over there in the Beis Medrash there, we were sitting there waiting for this to come in for the Simchas Beis Hasheva. One of the Bochum told the Rosh Yeshiva's al that my wife's uncle is waiting out there. So he says, let him come into the sukkah and sit down. And he came into the sukkah and he gave the Rosh Yeshiva Shalom Aleichem. They gave each other Shalom Aleichem. And the Toch Kitei Dili said Shalom Aleichem. And the Rambam says, the terutzim of these three things that you asked me on Shavuos, it's like this. So my wife's uncle said, the Rosh Yeshiva's on Meichel's on, I don't remember what those terutzim were. So the Rosh Yeshiva said over all the terutzim, and he said what he thought about each one of the terutzim, as if it was continuing the same thing after half a year of, almost a half a year of being part. That's a very interesting story. I keep telling that over. It shows the mamish that where his mind was all the time. Some other things to reminisce is, there was a story that he tells me over Garada. I don't know, did you ever speak to Ida? Tell you a story that I heard over from him, but I know there was many times when I came there, when after I got married, it was right after I had finished, I got smicha, I finished learning Yerubaya, and I was, I had gotten smicha and Tayyavadas, and I just...
Who was there? Rosh Yeshiva
was Rabbi Gedalia Shaw and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And when I came here, of course, I was fresh with Yerdeya, and I was very much keen on all the inyonim of Yerdeya. And being on the farm, and there always was chickens and shechting chickens and all, so I was always completely on it. It used to be the derech that they used to shecht, my in-laws used to shecht a lot of chickens, the chickens that stopped laying eggs, which were already the shvach of the chickens. So they shecht these chickens, and they would get about 50 chickens at a time. And of course, for many times, there was many shilas. And most of the times when there's shilas on it, there were so many chickens, they weren't mafkin. If there was any shayla, they thought they didn't ask shaylas, they just threw out the chicken. Okay, I said, it's a baltashas, you're not allowed to do something like that. And I used to take those chickens, I used to look at it myself to see what myself was testing to myself, what I would paskin if I would see what the shayla of the chicken is. And I'd take it to Habaron and see what his psak was. And every time I used to go there, so all the Yungalite, that especially were learning Yodeya, as I used to have a whole flock into the Rosh Yeshiva's room to see how the Rosh Yeshiva passes the Shaila. So it was very interesting. There was one story that he brings down, Rabbi Ida. He tells us that one time there was a type of a chicken that someone brought to Rabbi Aaron Zal, and they wanted to know if it was from the Min that's kosher. So Rabban said that he told him to call up the Alstedes, because they're from the Hainel, they always were with these things, and they know more than anybody else what chickens are, what from the Kabbalah, of what is a good, the proper mint chicken. That and they called up, and my wife's uncle, I think, was the one that answered, and he says, yes, this, he's familiar with this chicken, and this chicken was ongenommen by them in Europe years ago. That was always kosher. One was soymech on their chavis das, because they had the experience with all these chickens. This is what he gives me over there, that I got from Rabbi Ida. I know it firsthand. Some other cases, let me see, there was... what impressed me most was everybody, whoever met Baranzal, was the most thing is the intensity that in Torah he was not Masiach Das a second from learning. Mamish not Masiach Das a second. Always was so, it was eingebacken, it was burning. You could see in his eyes, you could see in his every mahus of him that the Torah was burning in a mamish, Every time that he spoke Nazoi, there was a known that during his Shia, no one ever tried to ask. There was only one younger man that ever hacked around the middle of the Shia, and generally, and they were, even after the Shia, they were careful not to go in, because he was so warmed up, was so riled up about the Shia that it was hard for him to answer calmly. He always was very excited about the Shia. There's one mice I had, which was a different mice. I don't know if they ever spoke to you about Yaakov Grumman. Did you ever speak to Yaakov Grumman's son? Yaakov Grumman.
Wait. There's a mice.
There used to be in the day school, they used to give a Shia. That was the only really kavutza of people that had a meeting every day. Besides forced ritual, there was also in the day school. And there was always a geshmaka minyan there. And there used to be between Mincha Maariv, or before Mincha, there used to be always a Shia in Gemara. And it used to be one of the younger light of the yeshiva always used to give. And at this time, for a long time, it was given by Rabbi Yaakov Grumman, gave a Shia, and it was
he's from California now, right?
Hmm?
The one from California?
No. Yeah.
Oh, Grumman. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He has a son here.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
So he gave a Shia, and he gave a Shia every day, and then they made a Nesiyim. And the Rosh Hashiva was very much interested that the Shia that the Balabatim should have from the start, that they should have a Shia. And when they made a Siyim on the Nesechta, the Rosh Hashiva came to the Siyim. And Shiva, of course, gave a good gezuktiv leitera there, and Rabbi Yaakov Grumman made over there a nachachin, and he said he wrote many svarim. He was a gevaldik kid, a big talmud chacham, and he said a vateira there. Well, Rosh Shiva was so gehakt. And it was mamish right in front of the thing of Rosh Shiva, when he felt something was not right. He didn't stop anything, and he just mamish. He was banging away at the pshatos that he was saying, and they were arguing back and forth there the whole time. And the ma'isa is, I had driven the Rosh Hashiva to the siyum and back to the yeshiva from the siyum, and I was going back. I asked the Rosh Hashiva. I said he was going to the shita sofa. I think one of the ballet. Balan Mefalshim on the Rambam, and he was going from the Rambam according to that Shita, and the Rosh Hashiva held that Shita was wrong, and that's where the whole argument was. But the Balabatin didn't realize what it was going on. But the Rosh Hashiva said, this is the Pshat, this is the Ekkes Pshat, and you can't learn Pshat the other way. And I was talking it over with the Rosh Hashiva then, and he didn't want to hear that Mzolaf Redna and the other thing. He felt this is Emes and this is that. This is Pshat. So and all the shiurim and everything, he meant that this is pshat. That's why he was very, very intense whenever he said something. And that's why it was hard sometimes to ask him, because if you asked him something and it wasn't according to what he said, he was very, very heated up about it. the Sanaga, I know we used to take him to New York many times. The Rosh Hashiva used to go to the place by bus many times. And whenever we could take him, we would take him to New York. And before he left, he asked me, I had to bring him over to Bishneya's house, and he had to say goodbye to the Zeniklach. He had brought a little kid, he's a Sapnazai, he went to the tail to all the kids, all the Zeniklach, and then he got into the car to go to New York. And he always, there's also prior, my Shver used to take him very often. My Shver was very close with the Kapitschinster Rebbe. And the Shver, the Kapitschinster Rebbe, and the Rosh Yeshiva Zal became very, very close. And they became very close, and many times there's one day they took him both to New York, and they always were talking and learning. Okay, they were talking and learning, and when my Shver would speak to them, they would say that he shouldn't talk because I'll feel so bad, and he had to keep driving. He had to keep his eyes on them. And they were talking about Rosh Hashiva Zal was telling over the Maisa from the Ger Tzedek, the whole Maisa of his last days of just before they executed him. So he was talking over the whole thing, and the Rosh was a Maisa with the one, the executioner, asked Mechila of the Ger Tzedek that he should be Moichel him in the Ring of the Elyon. So it's a whole Drosha, and this Drosha, I'm not going to go into the Drosha now, because I found out that the Drosha appears in the Mishnas Rabbam, and over there, he gives all the Drosha, the thing that happened over there. But he heard this story going over, and he wanted to listen to it, so he pulled over to the side of the road, and he stopped the car, and he listened to the whole Drosha, the whole Maisa. And then when it's finished, he started up the car and started riding, and both of them did not realize, they were so intent talking to each other about the thing, they didn't realize what my Shver did. They thought he was driving the whole time. Okay, there, I just wanted to, I don't have too much more, but they were very close to Rosh Hashiva and Rabaram and the Kapitschinster Rebbe's house. They were both very, very close, and whenever I was told over by Rav Shneur Zal that whenever in the house, whenever Rav Aaron Zal said Rebbe, they knew it meant, with Rebbe, Stam, Rebbe, they knew it meant the Kapitschinster Rebbe. That's how we referred to him, the Rebbe, they knew he was talking about the Kapitschinster Rebbe. And they used to go together very much, the raising funds of Chinuch Atzmoi and the writer, they used to be together, Kseder, and they would be
Thank you very much, Rabbi Whiteman, for your words about the Rosh Hashiva. Thank you.